Hello, everybody. I'm Parrish Alford.
And I'm Logan Lowry, and this is Double Coverage.
Ole Miss and Mississippi State Talk brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hello, everyone. This is Parrish Alford with the Daily Journal. I'm joined by Logan Lowry, our Mississippi State beat writer, and this is Double Coverage, a production of the Daily Journal. We're going to talk all things Ole Miss and Mississippi State for the next half hour or so. Logan is on location with the Bulldogs, the SEC baseball tournament. I was on location earlier, but it was a brief visit to Hoover. Ole Miss losing in the first round in a play-in game, basically, against Auburn, losing that game 5-4. So we're going to talk baseball. Lots more to talk about as well. Houston Nutt is in the news with his attorney threatening legal action against Ole Miss for how Nutt was portrayed in the NCAA investigation. We'll talk about that. Ole Miss softball getting into action later this evening as well. Logan, where are you staying, man? I know you were going to change hotels.
Yeah, I'm a little bit closer to actual Birmingham right now, so a little different than the setup we had yesterday. It feels weird just yesterday morning, but so much has happened since then. You know, Mississippi State's played two ball games, and you know, I've had a lot to do since I saw you yesterday, but yeah, it was just a few hours, same room.
Well, bad weather, rain, and that sort of thing is not uncommon at the SEC tournament, but it's been a while since I've dealt with it, and this has been a little bit of a different experience. You know, I was in that afternoon slot with Ole Miss having a 4:30 start, and then slow baseball and a weather delay on Tuesday pushed that Ole Miss game back into that late slot and pushed State all the way back to the next morning. So you got that slot that I like, Logan. You've had morning baseball for 2 days.
Yeah, it's been rough for me. I mean, I'm not a morning person at all, and having to wake up to an alarm that just doesn't really fit my lifestyle. So I'm about ready to end that and get back to the way I normally live my life.
All right. Well, tell us about Mississippi State. Two games now, two wins coming from behind earlier today against Arkansas, a team that swept the Bulldogs on opening weekend. Brent Rooker, man, he just keeps hitting. I mean, the guy was hitting over 400 when he got to Hoover, and I think he has increased his average since he's been there.
Yeah, I mean, and it was right from the start. I mean, in the first game against Georgia on yesterday, I mean, you know, one of the first pitches he saw, he hit it over the left field wall. And, you know, the guy he's just a machine up there at the plate. I don't think I've ever really had the offensive season that he's had. He is he's unbelievable, you know, what he's doing at the plate. And, you know, people are pitching around him and have been for the last month. You know, the pitches that he actually has to hit are kind of few and far between. And it's kind of like, what Barry Bonds experienced at the major league level. Most of the time people were pitching around him and stuff. So, the home runs that Barry Bonds hit were pretty amazing because most people didn't groove him a fastball. And, Brent Rooker's not seeing a whole lot of fastballs down the middle either these days, but he's still finding ways to contribute when he can, and came out with a, you know, game-tying single in the top of the ninth inning today against Arkansas. And going into that, Parrish, Mississippi State had stranded eight runners in scoring position in that first eight innings of that ball game. You know, they just seemed like they just couldn't get that timely hit that they needed. I mean, they were out hitting Arkansas. Arkansas hit a two-run homer in the first inning, got an RBI double in the second inning. So they were leading pretty comfortable, you know, 3-0. Mississippi State was out hitting them. They were getting plenty of runners on, but just couldn't get that key clutch hit to score anybody. And it was that way up until the eighth inning, and State was finally able to get it within one. You could get it within striking distance of that. And, you know, Brent Rooker comes up. Ryan Gridley leads off the ninth with a single. Rooker hits a double in the left center gap, was able to score Gridley all the way from first base and tie that ball game. And then Jake Mangum gets a bunt single. Follow that up with Hunter Stovall gets hit by the pitch. So bases are loaded with nobody out. And Cody Brown draws a walk that forces in the go-ahead run. Then Mississippi State hits into a double play and strikes out. So they were only able to get those two runs across in what looked like it was going to be a breakout inning for Mississippi State, and they had to make that hold up Arkansas used five pitchers in that ninth inning to get out of that inning, and were finally able to, but Mississippi State went to Riley Self in the ninth, and he picked up his second save of the SEC tournament. Now, he wasn't a guy that was Mississippi State's closer. I mean, Spencer Price has kind of been lights out in that closer's role for Mississippi State throughout the year, but he had an ankle injury a few weeks ago, and since then it's kind of been Riley Self. Now, Spencer Price is supposedly healthy, and he's pitched a couple of times since he's been hurt. But, you know, Riley Self right now looks to be Mississippi State's closer here at the end of the season. And, you know, when you've got two guys that have experience closing out ball games, that's only going to benefit you even more, especially when you're in a tournament format like this. Riley Self is now pitched in back-to-back days, so Spencer Price is still available, so they can go to him in a closer's role should they get in that situation again. But, you know, the story of the day on the mound, obviously in game one, Connor Pilkington goes eight shutout innings against Georgia. In two starts against Georgia, he's thrown 10 shutout innings. So that's pretty impressive right there. And then today it was Peyton Plumlee. He came out of the bullpen, threw four scoreless innings, only gave up two hits. Gave Mississippi State a chance. Like I said, Denver McCrary started that game, gave up three runs early on, and Peyton Plumlee was able to kind of calm things down, keep Arkansas from further damage, you know, putting any more damage on the board. And, you know, they were able to scratch and claw their way back into it, finally got a couple of those timely hits. Yeah, now they get to face Florida. They play Florida at 11 o'clock Friday morning, and that's going to be a tough road to hoe. But, you know, Mississippi State, you know, I've nothing surprises me with this bunch, because they shouldn't be in this situation. You know, with the amount of players they lost to the draft last year, had three coaching changes and have double digit injuries on this team right now. Most of those are pitchers. I think there's eight pitchers that are no longer able to pitch right now. So, you know, you take that off of anybody's staff and it would be damaging to any, even the deepest staff in the country. But, you know, Mississippi State's found a way to win. So, you know, we'll just have to see how much longer they can keep piecing this thing together.
Well, I think the big park in Hoover really played to State's advantage there in the ninth inning today against Arkansas, because Gridley was able to score from first. And like you said, you know, State had been getting hits and had gotten runners on base and wasn't able to really get that big base clearing hit, and still wasn't able to do that in the ninth, but they were able to score from first on the Rooker hit. And then Rooker comes around and scores on a bases-loaded walk, and they make that stand up with good pitching there. So, you know, not sure that they would have been able to score from first in a lot of SEC ballparks, but it's such a bigger park when you get to Hoover for the tournament. Shifting gears, let's talk Ole Miss a little bit. The Rebels eliminated on Tuesday in a 5-4 loss to Auburn. Really, they came out and played well, Logan, against Keegan Thompson, a right-hander who had a no-hitter going against the Rebels the previous week on that Thursday of the final regular season series. Keegan Thompson threw six no-hit shutout innings against Ole Miss, and then came a lightning delay, so he didn't come back after that. You don't know how deep Thompson might have gone with a no-hitter in that game, or if he might have been able to complete it. He was certainly able to baffle the Rebels for the time that he did pitch. So in facing him for a second time in 5 days, they really wanted to get on Thompson early in the count. And the big thing for Ole Miss the second time was don't miss the fastball. Mike Bianco thought his players missed a lot of fastball opportunities from Thompson, who really was getting them a lot with his breaking stuff, his off speed and his curveball. You know, they were chasing that when it was low. They wanted to be more disciplined there and make him throw the curveball in the zone. And they got off to a good start against Thompson with hits and runs in each of the first two innings, jumped out to an early lead there. But when the Rebels had some momentum going, Butch Thompson made the unusual move, a little bit unusual, but a move that you sometimes see in SEC tournament play, because coaches use their pitchers differently. He brought in Casey Mize, who is another SEC starter, another part of his weekend rotation, but a guy who did not pitch against Ole Miss in the regular season series because he's been injured and trying to regain some health. So Mize, with one of the top ERAs in the conference, comes in and really controls the Rebels the rest of the way. They end up scoring in the ninth, but they were two runs down at that point. And, you know, that was on a solo home run by Ryan Olenek. And they just they never really put any pressure on Casey Mize. And he really controlled the game after coming in and went the rest of the way, pitched the other six innings. So Ole Miss eliminated in the first round. And they're in the unusual position right now, Logan, of wondering if they're going to be in the NCAA tournament. The Rebels have reached the NCAA tournament in 15 of 17 seasons, or 14 out of 16. This is the 17th season for Mike Bianco at Ole Miss. So 14 out of 16, they've been in the NCAA tournament. Right now, they're a little bit unknown. The latest regional projections at D1Baseball.com have the Rebels in the tournament, but so much depends on how other conference tournaments play out, how many bid stealers are out there in the one-bid leagues, you know, things of that nature. So, you know, you got to watch the scoreboards and see how everything else goes. And the Rebels will be sitting on, you know, I think they'll be nervous. I think they'll be pins and needles a little bit on Monday during the selection show, and we'll see if they're able to extend their season in the NCAA tournament. They went 14-16 in the SEC regular season. It's not uncommon for teams to get in, SEC teams with 14 regular season wins. That 15-win break-even mark in conference play really kind of gives you a more comfortable feeling, but the Rebels were not able to get there. Struggling on the road, especially the month of May when they're 3-8. They had three of their final four SEC series were on the road, and they, you know, they got off to a good start with a series win at Arkansas, but then were swept at Florida and then lost two of three at Auburn. In between, they won the series against Texas A&M, but just were not able to get enough done to really feel comfortable with that selection show coming up Sunday. So you look at this team right now and just think, well, how did they get here? How did they get to 35-24, 14-16 in the SEC regular season? And basically, you know, people have pointed to offense for this team all season long, and you know, and that's been the big sticking point. When you look at this number one ranked signing class, it was loaded with pitchers, and they got good production from a lot of newcomers, freshmen in on that staff. You know, new guys, new roles, guys who were in high school last year, they came in and produced. Well, I mean, you know, I think that pitching tailed off a little bit at the end of the season, but you saw guys come in and contribute like Ryan Rollison as a starter, Will Etheridge out of the bullpen, Greer Holston as a non-conference starter, Houston Roth coming in with some big innings as well. But the hitters in that class really did not contribute at the same level. There were not as many hitters as there were pitchers, but guys like Thomas Dillard, Chase Cockrell, Cole Zabowski started off hot but were not able to maintain that level of production from early in the season. As pitchers adjusted to them, they were not able to readjust. And it's not all about the number one ranked signing class. It's not all about the newcomers. When you go back and look at these Ole Miss teams in recent seasons, Logan, you go back to 2014 when they made it to Omaha. Some of the upperclassmen there, several of the upperclassmen, had career years, really improved themselves as college baseball players, had the best numbers of their careers. And I'm thinking about Austin Bousfield in center field. I'm thinking of Will Allen at catcher, Sykes Orvis. You know, a lot of those guys really improved themselves offensively that season. And then last year, when the Rebels went 19-11 in the SEC regular season and hosted a regional at Swayze Field, you had guys who made similar jumps in production. J.B. Woodman in center field and Henry Lartigue at catcher batting .353. You didn't see that from Ole Miss veterans this year. You saw guys like Tate Blackman and Colby Bortles who were productive players, good players, but just didn't make that kind of jump. Will Golson right now, one of the hottest hitters on the team, you know, has increased his average to 312. You know, so you haven't seen any of these veterans take the kind of steps that some veterans did in recent seasons when Ole Miss was able to be more productive as a team. So just a lot of different problems offensively that added up to this team just kind of being inconsistent. And it wasn't all about the offense. Again, pitching kind of petered out a little bit at the end. We saw starters like Ryan Rollison, David Parkinson, not going as deep into games. And really, James MacArthur, the number one guy, their Friday night guy, kind of started that. It's been a while since MacArthur's been – it's been a while since MacArthur has put really good starts back together. You go back, he was pitcher of the week against Arkansas, 8 innings, 1 hit. But on either side of that start, he just hasn't been very good, hasn't been very consistent. So it hasn't been all about the offense for Ole Miss. That's where a lot of people look first, and there certainly have been some concerns there. But pitching just wasn't as strong at the end of the season as it was for most of the season as well. There was a time that Ole Miss was leading the SEC in team ERA, and I think right now they're fifth or sixth. So usually when you get to 14 and 16, when you're at a point where you don't know if you're going to get in the NCAA tournament, there are several different factors that go into that, and that's just kind of where Ole Miss is right now. What are you hearing, Logan, on regional projections for the Bulldogs?
Well, right now, just looking at the two that I saw earlier in the week, and that was before this SEC tournament started up. But, you know, Mississippi State was a number two seed in Hattiesburg. I think that was D1 Baseball that projected State to be in Hattiesburg as the number two seed. Baseball America, I think theirs came out yesterday, had Mississippi State as the number two seed at Clemson. But, you know, I've seen Mississippi State over the last couple of weeks projected to be in Tucson, Arizona, Long Beach, California. But, you know, at the same time, Mississippi State is still in a little bit of the conversation, you know, with them picking up two wins in the SEC tournament. They're still in the conversation to host just a little bit. I think it may take a win over Florida to kind of get them really back into that hosting conversation. You know, right now, State, you know, losing those last two series really hurt them, not only in the conference. You know, Mississippi State had a chance to win its, you know, SEC championship back-to-back seasons, and lost that series out at Georgia, and then were swept at the end of the regular season by LSU. So lost their final five games of SEC play, and that really cost Mississippi State a chance not only to win a championship, but it probably took them out of the hosting conversation as well. So we'll have to see, you know, when Monday rolls around, that selection show, if things, you know, work out, you know, if there's going to be more baseball played at Duty Noble Field, or if they're going to go ahead and start on that construction. But, you know, kind of just my gut feeling, Parrish, I feel like I'm probably going to be headed down to Hattiesburg.
Is there a recent regional that has been at Duty Noble Field where Southern Miss has been there? Because they've been to several. They've been to two in Oxford.
Southern Miss hasn't been to State in a while. I mean, State hosted – they've hosted twice in the last few years, and Southern Miss hadn't been there.
You know, just because I've seen Southern Miss in two Oxford regionals and because I know the quality of baseball that they play there, I'd like to see State go there, just from the Mississippi thing. You know, I think that'd be a great atmosphere. You know, so anyway, and Southern Miss has been rolling.
Yeah, well, State's going to open the season next year at Hattiesburg, you know, with the stadium construction still going on. So the opening series next year is going to be in Hattiesburg, so that'll be a change.
So you're saying that, yeah, they could just wait till next year, wait till next year for the Bulldogs to be there. Hey, shifting gears a little bit.
I just want to see them go somewhere else.
Well, you know, Clemson is a great. It's a nice trip. It's a nice venue, and it's a good college town. Louis Grizzard described it as Auburn with a lake, and that's like on the money. And it's easy to get to. It's an easy drive, just not too far past Atlanta. And just be glad if you go up that way that they've got that overpass rebuilt there on I-85 North in downtown Atlanta. So I was glad I didn't have to be in that part of the world when that was not ready for traffic. Ole Miss softball will begin its first ever Super Regional at 8 o'clock this evening. You can watch that game on ESPN. The Rebels taking on number 5 seed UCLA. Ole Miss, the number 12 seed. The Rebels won each of their games in the Oxford Regional, as did UCLA. The Bruins scored 27 runs in those three games. So a big challenge for Ole Miss pitcher Caitlin Lee this evening. She's done a very good job of limiting runs by the opponents, has thrown a school record 12 straight complete games. And now the question is, can she carry that into the Super Regional round? Ole Miss coach Mike Smith is confident his girls will be able to handle the stage and handle whatever they see in terms of the environment in Los Angeles. According to Smith, the biggest stage you could possibly see before the Women's College World Series is the SEC tournament, and the Rebels have already navigated that minefield and came away with their first school tournament championship there, and they've just carried that on to this level with a lot of momentum. So Smith is confident that his girls will not shrink in the moment, and we'll see if Lee can continue the role she has been on. Ole Miss, in getting to this Super Regional, defeated another Pac-12 school last week, Arizona State, a participant in the Oxford Regional. The Sun Devils went into that game fourth in the nation in home runs per game and had hit four home runs the previous day against North Carolina. And then Ole Miss advanced with a 2-0 win. UCLA comes into this Super Regional number 3 in the nation in home runs per game. The Bruins have hit a total of 75 home runs this season. So a little bit of the irresistible force versus the immovable object with Caitlin Lee trying to keep the Bruins off the board. We'll see how that goes. Game 1 tonight at 8, Game 2 Friday night at 8. That game's on ESPNU, and Game 3, if necessary, Saturday night at 6. These are all Central times. Game 3, if necessary, would air on ESPN as well, just like tonight's Game 1. Folks, that's it for this edition of Double Coverage, a production of the Daily Journal. Be sure to check out The Memo, our news podcast, all things Northeast Mississippi, with Brad Locke and Derek Russell. That comes to you every Wednesday and Friday. And Logan and I will be back with you again next week for another round of Double Coverage.